Hi, from the Salvation Army, you're listening to Words of Life.
Welcome back to Words of Life. We are currently in an Easter series with our friend Major Ruth Prieto New, focusing on prayer and the power of prayer. Today we're going to be talking about praying through the pain. Throughout my life, I've certainly been guilty of doing the most praying when I'm going through a tragedy. Maybe sometimes I forget to pray and just thank God during the good times. But for others, it may be easier to wallow in your pain than to pray. And today she encourages those, if that's where you are right now, reach out to someone. Really talk to others, talk to other Christians, and allow each other to really live out the scripture of carrying each other's burdens.
Hello, everyone. Before we celebrate Easter, we must journey through Good Friday. So we pick up today's story as Jesus and the disciples leave the upper room. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 45 tell the story. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane and said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners." Praying when it hurts can be difficult, but it is necessary. That's why Jesus insisted on his disciples to pray with him. He needed to teach them what to do when things don't go well and we're drowning in anguish. Jesus teaches us today that praying through the pain means that we recognize our need. Verse 36 says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane." The passage starts with the word "then." Therefore, we must look to the preceding verses to find out what happened earlier. And what happened earlier is that Jesus and his disciples had celebrated Passover together. All that followed next would cast a somber mood upon them all. At the dinner, Jesus hinted at his suffering and death by breaking bread and drinking red wine. When the dinner ended, Jesus asked the disciples to go with him. He needed to pray. And as they walked towards the Mount of Olives, about 3/4 mile journey, Jesus announced that all of them, including Peter, would betray him. As the group walked through the valley, they would have crossed the Kidron Brook, which on that day would have run red with the blood of all the lambs slaughtered for Passover. This powerful image would have added another ounce of dread to Jesus' already heavy heart. And it's in this frame of mind and heart that Jesus entered the Garden of Gethsemane. Amid all that was happening, Jesus decided that the best use of his time was to pray. This prayer was in preparation for the cross, not to avoid it, but to surrender, to seek strength and peace. To pray through the pain, we reach out for support. Verses 36 through 38. He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. stay here and keep watch with me. Fully aware of what was about to happen in a few hours, Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to accompany him inside the garden to pray. And he asked the rest of the disciples to sit, we assume, by the gate. As they walked among the olive trees, Jesus told them how he felt. He was in agony, experiencing a devastating discomfort. No doubt he was seeking their support and empathy during this painful time. And then he asked them to wait there and pray for him. As a pastor, I've always encouraged my congregations to share their pain with others. So sometimes I don't understand why we carry our burdens alone when God has given us a wonderful family to care for and support us. Paul also encouraged the church and wrote to the Galatians, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." The church is called the body of Christ in the scriptures. Therefore, all the members care for each other because if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So we should put aside any pride or shame that we might feel about our situation, and we should ask others to pray for and with us. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, didn't hesitate to seek prayerful support from his friends, neither should we. When we pray through the pain, we accept God's decision. Verse 39 reads, "Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" C.S. Lewis wrote, "There are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says, 'In the end, thy will be done.'" So then, we want to be in the first group. But how do we pray to accept God's decision for our situation? How do we say, "Your will be done," even when we disagree? Well, we must surrender to his will. Jesus' wording of that part of the prayer denotes that he was entirely in with the plan. He was committed to the mission assigned to him. Christ knew that his purpose was greater than his pain, and thus surrender became, for lack of a better word, easier. And so he was able to say to God, "Do your will." Amid difficult circumstances, the Lord asks you and me to seek and trust him with our pain because there's a higher purpose for it and for us. He may choose to show us or not. But if we are committed to God, if we love and trust him, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Surrendering is a daily decision in the Christian's lives. It's part of this journey. Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." That verse is found in Matthew chapter 16. When I think of complete surrender, my mind usually flies to Mary, the mother of Jesus. When the angel Gabriel announced that she would be pregnant with God's child, she simply answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled." From then on, this woman never doubted or wavered because she understood her assignment. And so surrendering was a natural response. If we know God's purpose for our lives, we will find that surrendering is free. When we pray through the pain, we persevere when others falter. The last few verses, we read Jesus coming back again and again to check on his disciples, and they're all asleep. Let's explain this a little bit. As Christians, we are part of the larger body of Christ, the church. And as a community, sometimes we go through trials together. But that doesn't mean that all Christians can withstand trials together. Unfortunately, sometimes believers choose the easier path instead of the right path, especially in the face of criticism or ridicule. One day when I was in the first grade, or maybe second grade in Cuba, a strange man entered the classroom. He interrupted the teacher and, with a clipboard in hand, menacingly announced that he was there to record the names of the religious people in the class. I immediately stood up and looked around to see other friends I knew went to church. But only this little Jehovah's Witnesses girl stood up with me. The man barked, "Your name," and I answered. He wrote my name down. Later that day, I asked the other Christians in the class why they didn't stand up. And they said their parents told them to hide they were Christians so they would not get in trouble. Now, I wasn't brave or special. I actually stood up because my dad had told me to never, ever deny that I was a Christian. But my friend's parents had told them the opposite. You see, at the height of Christian persecution in Cuba in the 70s, many believers hid their faith or became mouthpieces of the communist government in exchange for a few benefits. Many were my parents' friends who remained silent when many Christians were abused, thrown in prison, or sent to work camps. Ah, friends. So here in this passage, we find Jesus' close friends abandoning him while he's in agony. They're the same three who were only too happy to share in his joy at the transfiguration, but now, oh, they're too tired to share in his pain. And yes, they fell asleep too on the Mount of Transfiguration, but they woke up thoroughly when the action began. The temptation to sleep was the same, but they overcame it because it was a happy occasion. But now, when asked to share with him in his ultimate crisis, they fail him, give in to temptation, and fall asleep. You may have experienced something similar to Jesus in the past, as others maybe have joined you on happy occasions but have failed you when things got tough. So when others fail us or maybe fail Jesus, what should we do? We should follow Christ's example. Jesus returned to where the three disciples were to encourage them three times, and each time he went back to pray some more. He remained focused on what he knew he needed to do. He knew what his soul needed at that time, and so he went back again and again for more, even if he was disappointed that he was alone. Although we journey with other Christians, our race is an individual one. Salvation is personal, and we must work at it earnestly, or as Paul puts it, with fear and trembling. As in, this is serious business. That means that even when others, even friends, falter, we must remain faithful to God's call to seek Him. Today, you may be going through a particular kind of Calvary, even in this Holy Week. Perhaps your suffering is due to an illness. Maybe you're hurting because of your marriage, or maybe it's your children that are causing you pain. Maybe you're distressed because of your finances or the economy. Or perhaps the horrible news from all over the world is troubling you. Whatever the cause of your pain, remember how Jesus handled his moment of suffering. He recognized his need for comfort from his Heavenly Father. He sought others' help with his burden. He surrendered his will and pain to God and never stopped praying. If you're hurting, don't stop praying through the pain. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Salvation Army's mission, doing the most good, means helping people with material and spiritual needs. You become a part of this mission every time you give to the Salvation Army. Visit SalvationArmyUSA.org to offer your support. You can subscribe to Words of Life on your favorite podcast store or visit SalvationArmySoundcast.org. Join us next time for the Salvation Army's Words of Life.